we keep making the same mistakes, we're not getting better. At one point, it has to be on me, I guess, right? I'm the manager, so, you know, I got to keep pushing them to be better. They're not getting better. They're not.
I thought we swung the bats better in this game than we did the first game. It was good to see Marsh get a clean hit when Sean doubled down the right field line.
Testing.
Enter.
System go. How are we looking, Richie?
High at top!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, the red, white, and blue.
I can't sing a lick.
And when the band plays, hey,
makes you want to sing.
Ooh, they point the cannon at you. No.
Say it ain't me, baby.
It ain't me.
Sammy Sosa?
It ain't me. I ain't no center.
Oh, baby, how do we fade her down? How do we fade her down? I'm running by to fade it down. Here we are, high atop. It's a Monday. Richie, I'm working you extra hard. Took a week off. Can you just give us about 6 seconds of Monday? You know, can't trust that day. Because that's what this Monday is again, baby. Oh, my God. If you know of anybody that did their thesis paper in college on why Mondays are Mondays, would you please let me know at 609-828-5569. I can still remember my phone number after all the stress. Seriously, we'd love to know if anybody's ever looked into this, done some research, clinical back stuff. Just why? What makes Monday Monday, right? To the point where we couldn't do the podcast last week. Every time I tried to plan it, got blown up. You don't want to hear much about it. I get it. And almost today, I started today, and what do we have? We had the jackhammers in the background. My nephew was here with the power washer outside. Like, oh, Christ. I had to shut that down. What a great kid. Great sons. Anyway, here we are. So you talk Phillies. And before we talk Phillies, let's hear, you know, the opening of Ricky Pitalica yesterday, which, I mean, pretty much says it all.
How do you expect them to get runs?
I don't.
Did you really think going into this game that they were going to pile up the runs on Paul Skenes?
No, but
I think we were pretty clear on that there was really a slim chance that they would do a lot against Skenes, which they did not. But, I mean, once again, Ashcraft came in and stuck it to the Phillies, too. It seems as though the Phillies have kind of written this whole road trip off. This was a horrendous road trip against two teams that you should have gotten home at least with a winning record, at least a 4-2 record. Instead, you come home 1-5. This team's, they're floundering right now. Yeah. They have to figure out, and it doesn't look like there's a lot of help anywhere right now for them. So these guys that are in these lineups, they better start doing something.
Ricky always tells it like it is, but let's go to the opening today. You heard the manager of the Red Sox have lost an excruciating style, like 18 or 19 one-run games, and he's telling it like it is, okay? That's what he's doing. I mean, he has an option there where he can either BS everybody or lay it on the line, and he has decided that enough is enough, so I'm going to tell it like it is, and I applaud that behavior, absolutely applaud that behavior. I mean, there's a bunch of things he could do otherwise, but instead Cora decides to say, we keep making the same mistake. Well, the Phillies are making the same mistake, both offensively and defensively. But anyway, there's a guy you can relate to, you can trust, to build rapport with. Maybe there's a way out. Our guy comes on. I mean, Rich, you ought to play it again right now. It's hard to hear. I get it, but we had to go with it, okay? Hey, you have to... If you have to squint and strain to hear it, do so.
I thought we swung the bats better in this game than we did the first game. It was good to see Marsh get a clean hit where Sean doubled down the right field line.
Our guy actually says, oh, you know, Marsh got a hit this time, you know, last time, you know, it's really, are you, I mean, you're not serious, coach. You're not underscoring. Illuminating that Marsh got a hit, you know, two or three hits, Marsh got a hit. Oh, baby. You know what? When you say the old saying that desperate people do desperate things, whenever a coach gets fired, and I'm not suggesting Topper's getting fired. I would not be shocked by that, but I'm not suggesting that. Bo is in the dugout for a reason. Okay, more on that in a second. But when you start, that's bottom of the barrel stuff you hear coaches say that don't make any sense. If you're, you know, reflect back on stuff you've heard right before coaches get their walking papers and some of the non Danny Ozark, when the Phillies were 9 games out of first place with 8 games left, and he's sitting back in his recliner looking larger than life with his hands over his belly, and he says to the reporters, Frank Dolson, well, we're not out of it yet. You know, we have enough games. And it may have been Dolson that says, coach, you're 9 games out with 8 games to go. And he looks at him like deer in the headlights, you know, place there. I got to check that out, right? That's the crap you hear right before people go. Our guy's telling you, well, we got a hit, didn't we? No, you didn't say that. You open up by saying, here's the mic. Another tough day. We're not run producing without Harp in the lineup. We should. We have about 6 guys that got to get going because right now we only have 4 guys above 700 OPS. All right. Cassidy and the obvious ones, Turner and Schwarber and Harp. The other group of 5-6 guys have to run produce. They have to run produce. The 620 OPSs are not going to get it done. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm saying that group of hitters right now putting up substandard numbers, we need participation towards run production. And Harper's out. We get that. We're still getting great starting pitching. These are winnable games, but not if you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 hits. And when you get to 8 hits, you leave a lot of men on base with 2 outs. That's not winning baseball. That's on the offensive side. Our starting pitching, in my opinion, has been terrific. I'm going to call a shout out for them. And I'm going to say this. Our bullpen's getting better, okay? The other day, we know there was a bad break with a couple bloops Saturday night that fell in. And the bun around the world and all that, Friday night, whatever. That there's some bad luck in there. But anyway, our bullpen's been getting better, and our starting pitching's been elite level. Our defense has been terrible, and I did hear a stat from Chuck from Cherry Hill, and I would never say that we're last in the league. And when you look who's last in the league, guys talking to the media now, you're going to see the White Sox, and I'm not trying to defame anybody, the White Sox, you're going to see the Rockies, that you know they weren't catching the ball when we were out there. They caught some colds, they didn't catch any balls. You're going to see the teams that have terrible records, and if you add them all up, they're like 360 winning percentage teams, or last 5 in defense, and we're there last, and that makes no sense, and I'm disgusted about that. And over the weekend, we didn't catch balls in the outfield. Now today we did a couple nice plays, actually great play by Rojas the other night, but you know, by and large, we didn't make plays in the outfield. We didn't make all the plays in the infield. And when you're last in defense, it resonates. It tells you you've got to make some changes because that's the other half of the game. You hit, you run, you catch. And if that, and it's more than 1/3 because the running doesn't have as much proclivity for damage. Defense does, especially if there's balls you don't catch that are in your zone. And it doesn't look like you really had a play, but you did have a play for your position, right? Got a good job. Got to do a better job. What did I take there? 3 minutes? And I can live with that guy. All right, did he call out a group of 6 players? Did he call out the whole team on defense? If your team's last in stinking lousy defense and you're not making note of it, you're not underscoring that deficiency in the media, that is overprotection, okay? I get the family thing. I'm loyal to a fault sometimes. I'm Tony Soprano loyal, okay? But come on, you got to give it up now and then. That's ridiculous. I mean, there are some stats right now. I mean, Philly's got Harper batting 093 and 1. They're not worth reading because you know they stink right now offensively with 3 runs run production. What more do you want me to say? On top of their OPS of 540, stuff like that, it's dismal. You got the Red Sox guy telling like it is, our guy telling you that Marsh got a hit. Marsh, by the way, reality check. Marsh, I said this on the radio this morning, it should have had Chad captured. It was a quality call. I told Radio Land, Marsh's WAR. Now, you all by now know you can trust WAR. If you don't, look it up and see that Babe Ruth is 150. Then you know, I believe WAR. Then Bonds. then Gehrig. Yeah. WAR makes less sense, doesn't it? I'll tell you what. You disprove WAR. W-A-R. And by the way, you could find Team WAR, antecedent WAR under Baseball Reference. It's so easy. You put best WAR teams ever and click. And then you'll see Baseball Reference. Click. There's your list. That's how hard it is to find WAR. If you find an example of WAR that's egregiously off base, I'm talking about a joke. Yeah, some guy's WAR is, you know, a 10 for a season, the guy's stuck. Anything. If you find a WAR stat that's not credible, since they work to refine it every year, and that's a podcast for another day, but I'm sick and tired of people saying, oh, you know, don't, Chuck, I try not to say my name. People say, stop saying your name in the podcast. I'm not exactly sure why. Okay, I want to identify. Stop using WAR and DRS and stuff like that. No. You mean to tell me that your arrogance and your ignorance is you don't want to understand a game of baseball. You're telling me to stop using the most credible stats to identify with strength and weaknesses. You're telling me not to use them, huh? Do I struggle in basketball with plus minus a little bit? Yeah, mainly because it hurts my argument. Okay, other than that, it is what it is. It's really hard to refute. But WAR, come on, are you kidding me? DRS, defensive run save, gang. So if you find where it's off, now this is live testimony on a podcast. I'm sworn. You show me an example. You call me. I gave you the phone number. And you show it to me. I pay off your mortgage. There you go. All right? Now, if 40 of you do it, I don't have enough money to do it, but I may struggle with one. But you won't. The point is you won't. I'll tell you what. Let's make it more realistic. You do the aforementioned, and I will pay for a dinner at the Cap Grill Ocean Prime for the rest of your life once a week. Yeah, that's fair. And I can do that with a few people, okay? You won't, so don't bother. So when you take a look at WAR and you got Marsh at negative 0.5 at one-third of the season, we all can do the math. Where does Marsh end up? Please don't say plus two or something like that, okay? Right? Times three, all right? If he's going to end up a negative 1.5 for the season, he is, as I told the Raiders this morning, taking runs off the field. It's a negative for a reason. Marsh is subtracting from the game total. That's what it means. The play that was routine for an average replacement player, okay? And I'll give it to you someday. I'll give it to you if you ask. Nobody's asked so far, all right? He is not making, just gave the other side a tally or two or three. There you go. That's how he is taking runs off. So he's a triple-A player at best. A couple other guys are. What do you have down there to do? Well, let's talk about it. You got a group of minor league players. One of them is already up here. Otto Kemp, relax. He's showing you how impossible it is to hit a baseball. But you've got other guys down there with Miller and Justin Crawford. You got Otto Kemp, he's already up, or Gabriel Rinconius, all that guy is hit, Aaron Escobar. That's just to name a few, all right? You got to go back and energize this team. Boa was in the dugout for a reason. You want to hear an embarrassing moment? I knew he was in there last Sunday, and I'm watching the games this week, but I'm also sharing some time with my lovely wife, so we're looking at, you know, 2.5 Men. Some of the documentary shows. It was a tough week to miss, you know, CNN and some other classic shows. Get information, you know, get a little education. So I didn't see Bo in the dugout. So about Saturday, and you don't like to be defensive with a guy like Larry Bo. He's a super nice guy now. But you don't want to come off, you know, a little. It's a shame. You used to be able to say a little girly, and you can't say that anymore. Isn't that just too bad? That was never used offensively. You know, it's too bad. Anyway, so thin-skinned, okay? So I did text him Saturday or Friday night late. I said, hey, Bo, haven't heard from you. You know, and you do have to say, I'm very candid. And he's pro, very pro company guy. I hope I, you know, didn't say anything off-putting. Anyway, you know, things are good. That's it, all right? My phone rings Saturday morning, okay? I see Larry Bowa. Bloop. I don't care who you are. Your heart's going to jump a beat or two right there, all right? Hey, what's up, Bo? Hey, man, we're good. We're effing good. We're effing good. We're all good, man. I'm in the dugout this week, and I'm like, oh, my God. How do I explain that? I didn't see you in the dugout. I'm asking why you're not texting me. It was patently humiliating with no escape hatch. None. What are you going to say? You know, back and forth with work, watching the game that I didn't spot you in the dugout. I did last Sunday, my bad. No, don't worry about that, man. We're good. We're always good. I love your input. Keep it coming, man. I wish you in the dugout. You know? And then we started with the F-bombs. I can't tell you much more. But he's there for a reason. And his report back, because, you know, what he did share is senior management is more than frustrated, okay? More. And he's in the dugout for a reason. Trust me there. And it wouldn't shock me in the least if we heard about two or three or four guys going down and bringing some new people up, because that's what other teams got. Do you want me to go around the rosters of Major League Baseball? There won't be too many rosters, winning rosters. Who cares about the Rockies? But they don't have it anyway. That don't have a lightning rod 22-year-old. You know, you're watching them play every day. You're saying, where is our guy? Well, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, ask yourself. Jim, ask yourself. Tommy, ask yourself. Can't say Bunny because he doesn't listen to my podcast. Who should it have been? ... Stott? Yes. Boehm? Indeed. He was a hitter, man. That kid rake. And he had 46 doubles here in the bigs. Not too bad. Rojas? Oh, my Lord. Check our podcast from 2 years ago when Bo was on the show talking about Rojas. This guy's going to change the game. He's going to change the game defensively. He'll be a 300 hitter. I think Bo said 280 to 300, something like that. But with his speed, he's going to lightning rod, change the game. Came up, did that, didn't hit, but did change the game. He was a plus 15, okay, in 56 games. I said to everybody, you can't be that. Major League Baseball ends up being too difficult for Rojas to play. Maybe for Stott, even though he's had some limited success. Maybe for Boehm, it's hard to believe. Definitely too difficult for Marsh. It was definitely Mickey Moniquet, whatever his name was, that we picked up the number one draft choice. It was a total bust. You know his name. God. I'm saying Mickey Morandini. I am completely nuts. I am. Stress. Mondays. Play it again, Rich Mund. You can't trust that. I need a singer with me when I do the podcast. Any old Al, there you go. You got the three guys. You got Schwarber. You can learn, and I'm going to talk to you about Turner in a second. And Harper. Now Harper's wrist, and I think I can disclose this from our chat with Bo. I'm not going to do anything disloyal, but everybody knows wear and tear with Harper. Everybody knows how hard he works. Extra swings. Trout. What do you think? Yes. Or no, over under on the next guy, Trout. Oh, you took over, did you? Huh, shocking. Yeah, you're right. Do you remember the story that Altley shared? There was a batting cage in a bowling alley or something like that, and at the age of 10 and 12, he's taking like 500 swings a day. Torque, swing a bat. For those of you, I'm not trying to macho up on you, for those of you that have not ever swung a bat, today's bat, an adult bat, 34, 32, do what you want. Get loose, do stretching, go to yoga class. I'm not trying to get anybody hurt. Get hot. You got to get loose, really loose. Go swing a bat 100 times, all right? I dare you, all right? Yeah, call me 2 days later, not the next day. Call me 2 days later. See how you feel. See how hard it is to swing a bat. Then, when you're all done, nice and loose and hot, then I'll rifle 98 miles an hour under your chin. Then tell you to get in the batter's box. Let's go. And you will turn to me and say, that is the effing scariest thing I ever did. Not just in sports, okay? You'd cross Route 70 traffic one night because you drank too much and you kind of stumbled across and made it. It is worse, okay? That's how stinking hard this game is. So when you see Otto Kemp come up and look like he's never, like a wiffle ball player, you got to give him time. How about Holiday, Jackson Holiday with Baltimore? You want to look at his minor league stats? Can't hit in the major leagues. But you got to bring these young guys up and give them a chance. That's where this team's at. This team is not at the intersection of proving Marsh, Kenner cannot play at 28, whatever he is, that we're going to win with Castellanos in left, right field, who, by the way, because his D numbers are so atrocious, it yanks all of his offensive numbers down, and he's a minus. He's Kyle Schwarber when he's playing defense, and I was on his back. Why? Because you can't have him on the field. He was a minus 2.8. He was so bad, he wiped out his WAR to a zero. So after 11 years, what was Kyle Schwarber's WAR career? 11. One WAR point a year because he just obliterated his WAR with his defensive play. So we got guys out there. It almost doesn't matter what they do on offense. Not that they're doing anything, but they're so bad on defense, they become neutral players. You don't win that way. But, man, we got to start getting off of Harper's back. I mean, Turner's back. Turner's defense is marginally better. He's actually even in his D-WAR, minus 3 DRS. He's improved, even though it doesn't look it. Against those soft teams, he had improvement on the trip road run. So, but you have to look at what the guy does offensively. I mean, come on. You got to give the guy a little bit of a break here, right? So he's, 300, 360, 446, 800. No, his power numbers probably aren't going to be up, but he's playing right now to his career numbers. And anybody who has a problem with, again, career numbers, 300, I always round, 350, 480, 820, and he's only off by 28 on the OPS, and he's off by 30 on the slug. But we already said we know his slug is down, and he's higher than his career on base. I'll take that from a Trey Turner because he's still going to give you, when it's all said and done, he's still going to give you 15, 20 home runs, and he should give you 40 doubles. Now, this year he's stealing bases, 17 times 3, 51 stolen bases, but he's getting caught more. Age, not getting any younger, is he, right? But you can't knock Trey Turner right now, for heaven's sake. And, oh, Chuck, you've really bashed the guy. I said Chuck again. Okay, how do you say that? You've really bashed him before. It doesn't make sense. On the podcast, yes, because defensively it's a nightmare, although he's gotten better the last 2 weeks. I'll give him props and flowers. But if you went out to the outfield or center field, problem is solved. And if Harper was coming back, we got an opportunity to put him in left. And now with the wrist, you're saying, well, that makes absolutely no sense at all, right? But, to be determined. But Harper was an option at a point, and Turner, and then you bring one of the young kids up for right or flip-flop with Harper right and whatever. And you look at the outfield and you go, hey, wow, it's a winning outfield. It'll catch the balls at him. Turner will dazzle you a little bit. Harper's going to give you 110%. I can live with this, right? You got to do something, gang. Bring up the young guys. You got to make the trade part at the deadline, or the mid-July. That's very, very difficult to do. That's just, it's slim pickings. There's not a lot out there. Right? It's very hard to do. But when you got six guys, 620 OPS, 630, wars of even to negative, you only got three guys who are going to put up a positive war. And that's the aforementioned guys, right? The rest of the crew, nada, All right. And the one guy who's hitting a little bit, Cassidy's going to destroy you defensively. And don't even get me started on JT. He's ranked 14th in baseball right now overall. So, you know, Father Time marches through JT too, right? You got elite starting pitching. If Noel comes back, oh, hot weather Noel, if he comes back and figures it out, you don't have a problem with your pitching. What are you going to do? Take the Dodgers pitching right now? They're on a bus somewhere to the Mayo Clinic. Who are you taking? Baseball right now, the batting average is high. It's been 4 years, right? Power, not so much, because who's hitting 30 guys throwing 98? Again, I'm going to put you on the bat in the batting cage, get you healthy, get you hot, and say, get ready. The good news is it's a pitching machine that's very expensive, and it doesn't hit you. You'll have a batting helmet on, and I suggest you wear shoulder pads and hip pads and knee pads, catcher's gear too. You probably would. Yeah, I would. All right, I just want you to stand and see it. I'm not asking you to try to hit 100 miles an hour, but I will say this. I did do it one night with a bunch of my buddies. It was not 100. We moved the machine up to create like 93. And if you want to laugh, take some of your friends that are good athletes, protect them. Make sure the machine's calibrated right and anchored so it's not vibrating over a little bit. But you test it with 10 pitches. It will hit a cigar box 10 out of 10, right? Today's pitching machines, unlike the ones back in the iron mics, you know, in the 70s that I faced. And you crank that baby up to 95, 100, and you're going to have a belly laugh watching how late your buddies are going to be. Give them a wiffle ball bat. They're not going to get a, you know, 40-ounce bat. Give them a wiffle ball bat and tell them just to foul it. And by the way, that's the makings of a great bachelor party. Yeah, go away for 3 days. You know, and golf's great. You had a good time. But why don't we just take you out back and let you face 100 for your bachelor party, all right? And then we'll go away. Do that first, okay? I swear, if I open up that in a mall, strip mall, and I have, you know, prove your salt or some catchy thing, and all I have in there are pitching machines for the ladies and for the men, and I got them set up right, calibrated, da-da-da-da. The thrill of a lifetime, baby. You'll be protected. Come in and softball, try to hit. It's up to 79 now. Try to hit 75. And in baseball, try to hit 100. We'll keep it at 100. We don't need to go, okay? And this is without spin. This is from a machine. They do have machines to throw the spin. Please get off Trey Turner's back for the time being, okay? He's going to give you the defense he's going to give you. I mean, but they're dead last today in defense. I told that to the radio. How can they be dead last? And in the StatCast number, they were minus. I'm sorry, that confuses with Trey Turner. So StatCast, DRS, DWAR, all had them in the bottom three. Three ways. There isn't a fourth way. That's it, okay? Oh, by the way, speaking of Turner, I knew I was missing something. His fielding percentage is even up this year to like 980. So it's, you know, it's getting better, no doubt about it. I can't solve the Phillies' problems for you. I told you, you know, what we're up against. And they have to make moves now. Boa was on the trip for a reason. He was in the dugout for a reason. But do you want me to give you my ideas? I think that's the next podcast because they have to break down positions, player options, contracts, da-da-da-da. But just remember this. When you take where the Phillies are today and you take the third highest team in baseball, close to $300 million, there is an inherent requisite responsibility for a team that's that payroll and selling out every game damn near to produce a bona fide team. And right now, the worst fielding team in baseball and the below Major League average ERA of 4.04. They're below it. They're below the average ERA in Major League Baseball, right? Greatly weighted down, of course, by some individual guys, right? And run production dropping like a rock. So if it's 8th today, check with me this time next week, because if Harper don't come back, it'll be 14th. Well, I looked it up last night. There are 1% to win the World Series. You bet 1%. Maybe it's a good futures bet. Go have at it. We're going to switch gears here. I want you to hear this epic 500-foot home run This is pretty cool. And it looks, if you saw it, it looks further than that. It looks like it's about 560 feet. It really does. It is absolutely just a 497-foot slam. Roman Anthony, and it sounds really cool. So let's have at it. Go ahead, Richie.
This place getting loud, and rightfully so, with the top prospect in baseball up with the bases loaded. Anthony drills it deep right center field, and the Roman Empire has done it again! Second homer of the week, and his second grand slam of the year.
Wow. It's hard to see the ball, but if you can locate the ball, zoom in, okay? It is unbelievable how it just looks further. How do you say it looks further than 500 feet? But what it does, look at the stadium and try to track that son of a gun. Wait till this kid comes up. You want to see some numbers? Look up his numbers. But I also want to play, Richie, I want to play the Atlanta Braves San Fran. It was a good call. That's all. When it's a good baseball moment. Saturday night, Chapman walk off, and it's a really good call. I just want you to hear it. Sure, it's like 8 seconds.
Here's Matt Chapman. High drive! Left field! Out of here! And this game is over!
There you have it, right? Pretty good call there. Before we get to another topic for my buddy Pete, I got to do another shout-out. Keep an eye on the Audubon softball team. All right, you don't want to hear details. I get it. But keep an eye on them. All right, they have a chance to do something. They haven't, maybe win a state championship. But this Gloucester Catholic group, you know, I talk about them, right? And the Barth crew, all right? They knew they were facing USIS tough pitcher, and that's classic every year. I mean, you want area high school baseball. Get into the Gloucester Catholic Bishop Eustis rivalry, okay? Go to either game because you can't park because, you know, Gloucester Catholic, they use the field in Brooklyn, which is across the street from the cemetery where I hang out a lot, and you can't park at either field, okay? They have 1,000, 2,000 fans that are watching these guys. Epic teams, traditions, and all the whole, you know, you got great coaches, okay? But Gloucester Catholic had Thursday night a 5-hour practice, okay? A 5-hour practice to get ready for the game. And when they talked to the coach about it, he said, I knew we needed to work on bunting and going the opposite way with the pitch because we've been trying to pull the ball too much of late. So that's what we worked on for an extra 2.5 hours. Oh, my God. And you got this junior last name, Jude Morgan, who was a catcher, converted pitcher. And I think they play Tuesday for a state championship opportunity. But, you know, what Gloucester Catholic does every year to area baseball, it's beyond description. So I had to just give them a shout-out and a congratulations. Good luck, man. Good luck. And good luck to the Audubon softball team. I love to see teams that work hard with good coaches and good schools back them and support them. And they haven't been there in a while. And what it's like, the thrill. And high school, Cameron Catholic, you've heard the story, Bob Jackson on the roof, the same field that we're talking about, the same field. When I watch Gloucester Catholic play, I think it's Belmar, in that field on Route 130, I need to bring some buddies out there. I'm still trying to figure out how far the home run Jackson hit over my head in the left field. I threw my glove trying to hit it. And yet, no, it didn't hit the steeple. Of course, I exaggerate a little bit. Hit the roof of the church. I want to know that distance. So if you listen to the podcast, we have a pretty diverse group out there. I appreciate your feedback very much. I love the waitresses in Belmar that listen. But if you're an engineer, or you're, you know, technically gifted or inclined to be able to measure stuff, and you can tell me the roof in that Route 130 field. I believe it's Belmar, right near St. Mary's Cemetery. You know where I'm talking about. I would love to hear. I don't need the steeple. I would be so grateful. Of course, I'll take you to the Capitol Grill. Okay, I'll take you to the Capitol Grill if you don't do it. Just talk baseball. I want to know the lower lip of the roof, closest proximity is, I want to say 410. I feel like it's 410. The steeple, that would be 480 to 500. I think what I'm talking about is he bounced it and it rolled up over that. Hey, hit the steeple. But anyway, that's to watch a game there and just appreciate, if you're to the core a baseball person, appreciate what the Barth family has done for South Jersey baseball for decades. You know, Pops at 98 and down and all the other boys and cousins and whatnot, just appreciate what they've done for high school baseball, as well as Tropiano at Eustis. And you know, we have some other, you know, tremendous, tremendous high schools and different sports. That's a podcast for another day, okay? 3-2-1, Richie, let me see where I'm at right now. We did the Braves, Chapman walk off. We did the epic home run. We mentioned Gloucester Catholic. All right, 3-2-1 back up. I don't have a song for this because I'm running out of time, but get ready for the song that should say, "And along comes Soto." Hit 3-for-3 yesterday, and the Mets with the the best record in June. Let me give you Soto's June numbers. I know you're going to say, but he's hitting 244 for the year, 390 with an 820 OPS. And somebody said to me, he stinks. Well, funny thing happened on the way to the stink farm. Check out his June numbers, okay? Yes, Tommy, I didn't make these up. 346, 564, 615 slug, 1179 OPS. How do you like me now, Jack? That's his June. What's my point? If Soto ignites, and it appears like he has, I think that ship has sailed, gang. And you, because the Mets have lacked offensive run production. They're right under us. If they get ignited back towards north of five, and they will if Soto's going to be Soto, because the other guys, the Big Bear Pete and Lindor, he came out fast this year. Lindor normally isn't warm until, you know, July. He's hot already. And guess who looks like he's back? How about Jeff McNeil, man? How about 300, 360, 704, 1049? 32 years old. Can he still hit? Apparently. If you take Soto, light him up, and you get McNeil hot, they do have a rookie. The worry is it Machicino. Anyways, 24 DH yesterday. Special looking player, real tall, real skinny. Played shortstop, but ain't gonna play shortstop for the Mets as long as Lindor's around, right? But they DH'd him yesterday. See, the Mets trying to make stuff happen, bringing up a kid and another kid they brought up. They had to send him back down, but they tried. They brought up Batty last year. He didn't do so well. Doing better this year. Phillies organization, for heaven's sake, make an effing move to help this aging, decaying group, all right? Our older guys are aging out, and the younger guys got to come up. And you got to be a bit fearful of where we're going to be with Harper, because I'm going to tell you, that's a wear and tear injury. You know, why does Trout miss 80 games a year the last 5 years? Wear and tear. Why did Utley have to quit playing early? Wear and tear. He told me right to my face, okay? And last but not least, my buddy Pete, I love the guy. And we go back and forth in this room of 10 or 11, whatever. I had the Knicks. You know the Nova Knicks. Love the Nova Knicks. He was the opposite side. Okay, so game six, after they get to the Eastern Finals, game six with 30 seconds, I get a text blasting the Knicks. You going to send that to me with 20 friggin' seconds left? Where was it before the series started? Because of a ball that bounced 12 feet in the air and comes down and goes through the rim at Madison Square Garden. If that ball doesn't go through the rim, the Knicks win. The Knicks win. Ain't no text. We start ripping New York. So I think, Richie, maybe we have to play a little, you know, New York, New York at the end. No, we have so much fun with it. But I'll say this, and let's do this. Let's play Mad Dog on the Knicks coach getting fired, Tommy Boy, Tommy Tibbs, I call him. Let's play a little bit of Mad Dog here, right?
What they did here to Thibodeau is a complete disgrace. This guy took a team to the conference final, and because OG and Towns can't make a free throw, they lose that series to Indiana. They beat the world champs. He gets to a conference final. They go back-to-back 50 wins for the first time since 95. They get to a conference final for the first time in 25 years. 25 years! And this is, and you gave him a 3-year contract extension 8 months ago. And this is how you deserve, this is how you repay him? By firing him? That is why? Because Mikal Bridges didn't like him? Who cares about Mikal Bridges? Or Anthony you know Brunson loved him, and you know Hart loved him. So the idea that the Knicks players had something to do with this is nonsense. And I'll tell you right now, let's give the owner grief here. He's a lousy owner. He's been a lousy owner for a long time. He's got an awful reputation. You want to sit there? That's James Dolan. You want to sit there and blame everything on Leon Rose? I think Leon Rose is too smart to have done this by himself. He has deserved the benefit of the doubt. Dolan is not. So Dolan's hands, to me, he was in the exit meetings, to me, is all over this. Think about it. The Knicks have had 12 head coaches in his tenure as the owner of the team. Before Tibbs, they won one playoff series. One! With Tibbs, they won five. So this is how we're going to reward Tibbs by throwing him out the door. And who are they bringing in? Pat Lally's not coming here. Who's coming? What, the kid from Cleveland and World Wide West, the same guy who won in Louisville to hire Ken Payne? How did that work out at Louisville with Kenny Payne? He won 12 games, 12-54 before they threw him out the door. So the idea that now we're going to let World Wide West make the decision on who the coach is or he has some say is a bunch of nonsense. This guy's a hell of a basketball coach. Hell of a basketball coach. The Knicks overachieved to get to a conference final. Indiana's a better team. Better team. And if the ball does not bounce 9 feet in the air and bounce in instead of bouncing out, the Knicks would have won that series. Would you then fire them? Here it is. They did a celebration 2 weeks ago. 7,000 people on 7th Avenue when they beat the Celtics in 6 games like they had won a world championship. 6 games later, you throw them out the door? Oh, come on. The Knicks should be ashamed of themselves. That owner I never trust. And Leon Hess. How about Hartenstein? He let him walk. How about the idea that he freaking, as you said, five picks for our pal Bridges, which is Bridges. One of the worst trades you ever could see. And that bench stinks. What, this bench is good? That bench isn't any good. So I put all the blame on the Knicks front office. I put none on Thibodeau. To me, from this corner, I know I'm going too long here, no, he got not. An incredibly raw deal.
My opinion, what they did, and I know that his reliance on some of the bench players, one of them really produced in a game, really produced in a game. But, you know, when he persecuted Towns on the bench, who came out, had a monster game, you got to go with the horses that brought you, coach. So he did make some fundamental mistakes. What about our guys? What about our coaches when the Sixers did advance a little bit, okay? They haven't been in such a scenario in a while. But we can talk about each game where our coaches were fundamentally flawed, okay? And I'm not even a basketball guy. And I can have that conversation. They stunk, all right? I mean, this guy comes in, and the Knicks, you know, played a good round last year, knock out the Celtics with Tatum in Boston, in the Garden. They knock out the Celtics, okay? And they, oh, Tatum got hurt. Guess what? Let me tell you how many stars get hurt in postseason basketball. What a not credible argument, okay? They beat the dang Celtics healthy in the Garden. And I have a text from somebody that says the finals is going to be the Celtics in Cleveland. Wrong. All right, I got a lot more texts that are wrong, but you know what? I say crap wrong too. Big deal. That's what we do. We have fun. We have one of our, you know, martinis. That's what you do. It's what we, this guy, we love to do that crap, right? I don't care about that stuff, but there's nothing that warrants him being fired. That's bull crap. And Mad Dog is all over it there in his comments. Okay, I mean, he advances them to the Eastern Finals. How would they do against Oklahoma City? Well, all I know is they could have beat Indiana if a ball doesn't drop miraculously through the hoop. And Indiana beat Oak City in the first game. I hope I got the names right, but now I probably named them all wrong. I'm out of breath. I need water. But if the Knicks win that game, there's no doubt they have a chance. They would have been a big underdog, but as Indy is, now they're going to go back to Indian split, is my opinion. And then you got to go, game five there. You're down 3-2. You got to come back, and if you do, you're 7 there. I don't like it. The bet with Petey Boy was 5 games. I said 6. It could be 6 or 7. You know, but anyway, hats off to the Knicks for what they did. Brunson was just voted the most clutch player in the NBA. We're going to start criticizing Brunson, okay? Yeah, sure. Yeah, pick another debate, okay? Because you're going to get smoked on that one, all right? His Villanova comrades, could have played better, no doubt about it. Bridges and Art, but they bring him in at the end of the season. They bring the senior people in. I know all the Nova guys were there, I was told, and they say, "What do you think?" And they were displeased with the coaching, and that was enough for Rose and company and that great owner. Knicks have a really fantastic owner, don't they? To let the guillotine come down on a guy that coached you there. Okay, and had some spectacular wins in postseason, going to Boston Celtics away, going to the Garden and winning. Okay, and this is a guy that you fire because a ball, okay, that was shot went up in the air 12 feet, and everybody else thought the game was over, and it comes straight through the rim. It one of the most miraculous shots ever made, and any basketball person, which I'm not, will say, all right. Luck of the draw, fate, crazy stuff. All right, that's what happened there. So we got Mad Dog, and last but not least, we had Lou Gehrig's day back, and I just love it, man. If you ever want to see some impressive numbers, take a look at that son of a gun's numbers. Okay, they're slow pitch softball numbers. Okay, yeah, Wally Pippen, a whole bit, all right? So we're going to play famous, just a snippet. We've had some videos. They're all good videos today. I put Richie to the test today. We're going to play Lou Gehrig, Luckiest Man and all that, and then I want to compare him to my sister, Lee. So we're going to go Gehrig and the song, that the tribute song that I do, Nobody Does It Better. In this case, we'll share the company, share the stage today with Gehrig and Lee and get through that, right? You all have a great week. Probably missed a few things, probably mutilated a few last names, probably got some stats wrong, but close. Call me out on it, 860-928-5569. Say some prayers. Have a good week, and play it again, Sam. We'll see you guys, all right? God bless.
Today. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.